There's just enough left of the sundowner breeze to keep the bugs away. I sit here tonight, alone at a picnic table near the vacant dorms of a remote field station in the Channel Islands, watching something I've never observed before. A female acorn woodpecker is taking a dust bath in a shallow depression where the soil seems especially powdery, a place where birds have apparently done this before. She hunkers down low, dips her head first, shaking her bill side to side to stir up the dust, then arches her back, flinging dust toward her tail while she flops to her belly and begins flapping her wings as if drowning. I've seen quail do this, and house sparrows, and I've heard that this is how many birds deal with ectoparasites, but it's the first time I've watched a woodpecker bathe. I am tempted to view this scene as comical. Field guides tend to describe the acorn woodpecker's face as clownish or clown-like, and when birds thus perceived lie in their bellies and flap in the dirt, it's hard to ascribe them dignity. But this woodpecker seems quite earnest about her bath, so I observe the ritual with appropriate solemnity. Finally bursting from the dust, the woodpecker seems heavy, as if gaining altitude is a struggle. Straight up she flies, landing vertically on the broad trunk of a eucalyptus tree immediately above the bathing site. Her white belly is still the color of the dust. Briefly, she seems to rest, propped up by stiff tail feathers, and then she flies over to an adjacent tree, another stately eucalyptus, still climbing steeply. The woodpecker stops momentarily at a cavity entrance, and then disappears inside. I imagine that she tracked a great deal of dust in with her. I enjoy writing in situ, on site. This way, I'm not only writing about nature, I'm writing from nature. Right now, I'm writing at dusk, from dusk, during a drought from just beyond the canopy drip line of a dry, dusky eucalyptus that shelters a dusty bird that has just bathed. It was not my intent when I first sat down at this picnic table to describe a woodpecker's bath. I'm not even certain I intended to write. It's more accurate to say that I was prepared to write, with notebook and pen at the ready, should anything seem remarkable. There are also binoculars on hand and a glass of wine. The breeze tails off for the night, and a mosquito buzzes my ear. I realize that I'm having to deal with my own little ectoparasite at the moment. While this realization connects me to the woodpecker now bedded down in its cavity, I assuredly won't be indulging in a dust bath anytime soon. My better option seemed to be to slather myself with repellent, or to go inside. I go inside. Although I've skipped the dust bath, I'm doing the same thing the woodpecker just did, retiring for the night to an interior domicile. But I'm not nearly as connected to the bird now as I was a few minutes ago. Here, indoors, I'm no longer employing skills of observation, which are some of my most well-developed skills. Now, I'm merely remembering, reflecting, and sipping wine. The living room in the house I grew up in had a marble fireplace that was rarely lit, and the books in the bookcase to the right of the mantel were dusted more often than read. Although I was a precocious reader as a child, I perused few of them. Profiles in Courage, David Copperfield, The Lives of Saints, The Collected Poems of William Wordsworth. Reading four books from the living room bookshelves was plenty, and I suspect that none of my siblings read more from that particular library than I. Our family room had a brick fireplace that was inevitably fired up prior to Halloween and rarely went out before Easter. On cold Colorado nights, Dad would put a chunk of coal the size of a cantaloupe in the back of the firebox before going to bed, and the embers would be ready for a fresh log the next morning. No kindling needed. That fireplace had a built-in knotty pine bookcase to its left, and those books were dog-eared and edge-worn. When I close my eyes, I can see Walden sitting on the same shelf as A Sand County Almanac and Silent Spring, all three in paperback. Our copy of Walden included the essay On the Duty of Civil Disobedience, because Walden itself didn't fill out the book. Were you to send a book manuscript the size of Walden to a publisher today, it would probably come back with gentle advice that there were too few words. Walden has plenty of words, the best of which is the adverb deliberately. The author wrote famously, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. Walden was more than a book to me. It was a manifesto. To an impressionable adolescent still called Johnny, this manifesto suggested that the best way to experience nature was alone. Indeed, solitude was the only way to experience nature deeply, truly, transcendentally. I write this book to interrogate that mentality, seeking my own conversion. Yes, my experience of the woodpecker's bath this evening was solitary, and had I been distracted by companionship, I might have missed it entirely. Solitude plays its role, especially for introverts such as myself, and it's a gracious role. But I find myself searching for other paths, focused, communal, enduring alternatives, to augment the experience of the natural world. Such paths need not take the place of solitude, but would go beyond it, completing the experience of nature beyond solitude.